1894 53.
Parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
106 is our local number. Our text number is 53106. That'll cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. When Mairead Lavery was just in with us there, she was talking about fizzy milk perhaps being the next big thing. Brenda Kay on Twitter, channeling Seamus Heaney, says, "It's far from fizzy milk you were raised. Hashtag fizzy milk me whole." Thank you for that, Brenda. There's plenty to think about in that. Now, though, we have a man who makes everything effervescent no matter where he goes. David Carey, good afternoon to you.
Oh, Sean, I'm proud as punch to be here, as Hubert Humphrey once said, and it didn't get him very far.
Right, here's your first question. I am concerned about my 13-year-old daughter, who has given up all her hobbies and isn't involved in any activities, either in school or outside. She seems happy and doing well in school, but I'm concerned that she's quite happy on her own and doesn't seem to need friends of her own age. She's an only child. I've tried everything that I can think of to get her to engage with her peer group. Any suggestions?
Gosh, that's interesting. Often when children stop engaging in the activities that they used to really enjoy and withdraw from friends and take to their room and begin to lead very, very quiet and isolated lives, we get extremely worried about them.
Yeah.
But this girl seems to be doing quite well otherwise. And I don't know, she's an only child. Maybe she doesn't need a lot of company. Often I ask myself, do we still have room in this world for the contemplative, somewhat non-social individual, you know?
Yeah.
Is there anything really wrong in and of itself being that way? You probably need to sit down and talk to her and ask her what's going on. Ask her if she's unhappy. I'm wondering, this is just a puzzlement on my part, has she unfortunately been socially excluded at school? Is there some form of very subtle bullying going on? But she seems happy and is doing well, happy on her own. Usually if someone is happy on their own, we leave them alone. We don't force them into company.
Mm.
For example, people on the spectrum at the higher end with Asperger's syndrome and whatnot, sometimes we want desperately as their parents and teachers for them to have a friend or to mix with other youngsters. And we force them into those situations and distressing them enormously in the process. So the acid test really is it in fact she's happy on her own? She seems that way to you, Mom, but you don't know for sure unless you start opening up some dialogue. So I wouldn't be unduly concerned just yet, but I would really encourage you to sit down, have a little chat with her. Also, I'd want you to talk, I always say this, TTT, talk to teacher. talk to the earhead, find out what's going on in school. Mm. Is she mixing with others, particularly at break time and lunchtime, or is she isolating on her own? Did she used to mix with others at break time? Did she have friends? And now is she removing herself from them? We need a little more information before we can go down the lines of thinking this is a genuine problem in terms of her emotional development or not. So let's get some more info, talk to her, get some facts from the school end of things.
She is 13 as well, which may mean she's in first year or second year in a new bigger school.
Yeah.
Where maybe it's, you know, and often when kids move from national school to a bigger school, they have difficulties.
Yeah, that transition is really stressful for a lot. Well, stressful for every child. For the more vulnerable ones, it can be enormously stressful and really tip the scales. We really have to reach out for those that are on the more vulnerable side and help them engineer social contact. Some people lack the skills.
Mm.
They don't really know how to join a group of people that they've never met before, sit down, and have something to say or a question to ask. And if you lack that skill, you can be taught it. So some attention is necessary. I'd like more information. So what I would suggest, find out some more in the next week and come back to us, would you please? Because I'm curious about this.
Yeah. My 9-year-old daughter is a little on the plump side. She just has a larger appetite. I don't have an issue with this, as I know she's very active. She is into camogie swimming, and during the summer she really got into tennis. The issue is boys in her class have started to pick on her over her weight, and now it's affecting her confidence. I don't want it to become a problem for her, but I have no idea how to address it with her. If we started changing her diet, then I'm worried she will always be conscious of what she eats. I do not want her to be obsessed with this. She's only 9. How can I stop this before it gets out of hand?
Well, you're on the wrong road here. You don't want to fix the daughter. You want to get into that school, presto, and by that I mean tomorrow. You march yourself in there. You ask to talk to teacher. You make it abundantly clear that you believe your daughter is being treated unkindly by some boys in the classroom. Teacher has a responsibility to deal with that in the whole class setting.
Mm-hmm.
And most teachers are very good at that. If it continues for one more week, your next visit is with the school principal. And you're going to be very assertive. You're not going to be nasty or unpleasant. And you're going to repeat your concern and let principal know you spoke with teacher. And you're just simply going to say, I want this situation resolved within the next week, or I'll just have to go elsewhere.
Yeah.
And this is what you have to do. Now, she's on the plump side. She has a larger appetite. Okay. Nothing wrong with being on the plump side necessarily, as long as you're physically healthy. GP is the best guide of that with your daughter. So if no concerns about general health have been raised, no problem. Maybe you want to make some adjustments in the food that's available in the house.
Maybe.
She has a larger appetite. I don't know what she's eating. If her diet is healthy and nutritious, you needn't worry about it.
Mm.
Clearly, she's being mistreated at school by some boys. Now, she's told you this. It's your responsibility, parent, to fix it.
Yeah.
Along with teacher.
Yeah.
Get in there. And you tell your daughter, honey, I'm going to have to go to school and talk about this because I don't want you being treated badly in school. And school is supposed to be a happy place. And maybe she won't want you to go in, but you're going to have to do it anyway. It's a responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah, she's only 9, she might be a little plump, but she's active, so she's absolutely healthy.
She'll probably outgrow the little plumpness.
Anyway, that's not unusual. So it's totally the boys' fault.
It's the boys. And sometimes these things happen and the class teacher isn't aware of it. It can be very subtle and can be very hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And if no one reports it, then the teacher doesn't know. Once teachers find out about these things, 99.9% of them do something about it pretty quickly.
Yeah. I have a 5-year-old son who is starting to ask questions about his cousin, who is autistic and nonverbal. I was hoping that David might be able to help us with the kind of language that we use to explain to him what this means. The last time we were together, my nephew had a bit of an episode, which was upsetting to watch as he tends to hit himself and cry out. My son asked me what was wrong, and I just said that he was a bit upset. He then asked me why his cousin doesn't talk to us, and I didn't really know how to respond. Any advice would be much appreciated.
I really do want to help you with this. I think the first thing you need to do is have a conversation with your sister or brother or sister-in-law and brother-in-law, whoever the parent of the boy on the spectrum is, and explain to them that your son is now asking questions and you'd like to talk to your son about that. Now, you may go down the road of asking them to talk to your son about their boy. It would be very important to get them on the side of what language and vocabulary you use. There's no reason you can't use the A word, autism, with a 5-year-old. You fully won't understand it, but you can explain it along very simple lines. Your brain works in such a way that when you were 5, you were talking, you were communicating well, and you didn't have these kind of temper tantrums, if you want to call them that. His brain is a little bit different. You may say, because, if you have consent now from the parents, he has what we call autism. This is the way he is. We all love him very much, and we all understand. Although he may not talk to you the way you can talk, we're sure he loves you too and enjoys being around you. And that probably is enough. But I think the first step is to talk to the parents, because you don't want to go down a road that they're not comfortable with. Maybe they're not comfortable with the autism word.
Yeah.
Most are, but maybe they're not.
Yeah.
Then you don't use it. Then you tend to use the language of your brain works a little bit differently. Interestingly, people on the spectrum, particularly at the mid to high end, we can often divide them into some arbitrary subgroups. Some have no problem with the A word, you know, or the S word. I'm on the new language
spectrum.
Now is I'm on the spectrum or I have autism. Some just don't want to use that word at all and don't want to hear it. and they don't want to hear the disability word or special needs, then we have to use and try to understand what vocabulary they're comfortable with, and we use it. A good friend of mine was in the supermarket a good few weeks back, and she was with her daughter that had this kind of moderate spectrum issue, and they were at the till, and the daughter reached for something before the clerk had scanned it.
Yeah.
And she said, "Oh no, I'm sorry. He you know, he has some special needs. He's on the spectrum, has autism." And the girl at the till said, "Oh, that's very interesting, because I have Asperger's syndrome. And one of the things I've learned is it doesn't matter to me what anybody thinks about me. I know who I am, and I'm really comfortable being me with Asperger's syndrome." That is a wonderful example of having been reared in such a way that you can understand and accept your difference. Difference isn't bad, you know, that you can accept it and you can talk about it, and it's just out there. So I don't think you have a big problem here. I don't think you have any problem at all. First, talk to your kin.
Yeah.
Find out what they suggest. Maybe they'd be the best ones to talk to them. Maybe you don't have to do it. You can be there.
Yeah.
And they might want to explain to your little boy.
Yeah, and asking questions is the most natural thing in the world.
Absolutely, and give him an opportunity to ask questions about what he's been told. He probably won't have any.
Yeah.
His brain is craving to understand. He sees and hears, this little boy is different.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Yeah. Why isn't he like me?
Why isn't he like me?
Yeah.
And now he deserves an answer to that question.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's tell him.
Yeah. Right. We do have to take a commercial break after that. A little girl who's obsessed with her best friend. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent. David Carey still with us for our parenting slot. We did have a question at the start of the section about a 13-year-old who seems to have... She's given up her hobbies. She spent a lot of time by herself. There was not clear whether it's a deliberate choice or some there's been some exterior factor. Claire says, "Just leave the poor child alone. I'm as happy as Larry on my own. People are just awful. Nothing wrong with being a hermit in my little hermit hole," says Claire. Well, she's right about that, of course. But if that's the child's choice, then she's right.
It's a very interesting, this concept of the hermit. We have a social brain.
Yeah.
So it truly can be said that every hermit needs a community to withdraw from.
Yes.
Think about it, Miss Hermit.
That should be written on a greeting card. Really, it should. Right, my daughter is 6 and seems to be obsessed with her best friend. They have been friends since they started school last year, which is lovely, but I worry that they isolate themselves too much from the rest of their classmates as they don't have too much interest in joining in with anyone else. Maybe I'm being overprotective, but I worry that if her friend is off sick, that she wouldn't have a wider social circle to play with.
Well, now, of course, you're inventing a problem that doesn't exist just yet.
Yes.
Which is human, of course, and particularly common amongst parents who love their children and care for them. Nothing wrong with having a best friend. It's a good thing, in fact, to have a best friend. And best friends change across a lifespan sometimes, not always. We don't know what's going to happen if her little friend isn't in school that day. And I'm afraid rather than worrying and trying to do something about it yet, it's probably best to wait and see.
Yeah.
And now, here again, you might know when little Susie isn't in class that day unless your daughter tells you. If she tells you Susie wasn't in, then I'd want to ask her, who did you play with?
Mm.
Who did you talk to? What did you do? What was the most fun thing about school today? And she'll probably tell you. If you ask some open-ended questions and some pointed closed questions, you'll get an answer. Sean, I think this is a let's wait and see issue.
Yeah, because it mightn't be an issue at all.
It's an issue in the parent's head.
Yeah.
But we don't know if it's an issue for the little girl. She's very attached. And at this age, by the way, those attachments can be very strong.
Mm.
And that's the only one you want to be with, you know?
Mm.
I had my best buddy, and we've been friends since we were 6 months old. And we're still in touch.
Crikey,
can you imagine
brilliant.
That? Yeah. Bob, if you're listening, hello.
Yeah.
He's back in America.
Hi, Bob. And you never know, the daughter might go, you know, little Susie gets sick, and the little girl in question here goes, oh, thank God I'm shot of that clingy wagon for the day. And goes off and has a great time for herself.
Could happen. And you know, the evolution of these things sometimes is that this daughter who's so attached to that little girl and the little girl who's attached to her may go their separate ways in another 2 years or less or more.
Often happens.
Often happens. That's healthy and normal. And we make attachments, we let go of them, and we make other attachments. That is healthy development across the lifespan.
Another attachment, though, in a bit of difficulty. My son refuses to be in the same room as his dad. To be honest, he hates everyone bar me, as it seems. So this affects his grandparents and aunties, too. But it's his dad who feels just awful about it. He is, too. He is like my shadow. He follows me around the house all day as I do the chores, and we go everywhere together. But when his daddy comes home and tries to spend time with him, he gets upset and angry and practically runs away from him. This also means that it's me who has to do the bedtime routine every evening because he won't let his dad do it. My husband is really upset as he is not bonding as he thought he would. Our son is our only child, so this is all new to us. How can I help my son to allow more people into his life, especially his father?
Ooh, I think you might have inadvertently become an enabler.
Yeah.
You have got to pull back. Mm-hmm. The little boy can't do it on his own. He clearly is extremely attached to you, which is a good and healthy thing. Speaks well of you as his parent. But this is hurting dad. That is not good, because a dad as a human being wants to have loving contact and be able to nurture, play with, and comfort his son. I really want you to think very deeply about your role in all this. There are things you can do. There are instrumental tasks that you can engineer into your day and week so that the son must contend with daddy.
Mm.
That means you don't bring him up to his bed and tuck him in and give him his goodnight story every night. You've got to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just dad. It's other family members. So, it's a tough question, and I'm trying not to point fingers, but the question is, for what purpose have you permitted this to go on for so long?
Mm.
Two is a long time.
It is a long time, though. Isn't it? I mean, from what she says, it sounds like she's at home minding him, so she's all day long with him.
But daddy comes home sometime.
Yeah, presumably so, yeah.
And some of the time that he's home, the little boy must be awake.
Mm.
You've got to start, you need to talk to your partner, and let's organize a schedule here.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be 100% consistent, but we're going to have to rotate some of the caregiving parenting responsibilities here.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to get out of this. You have to change, not the little boy.
Yeah.
Please dig deep, try harder, ask yourself a very difficult question, and it's a hard one, and I don't want to put pain in anyone's life, but are you facilitating this accidentally?
Yeah.
Because it sounds to me like you are.
Yeah.
And I know your intentions are good and you love your little boy and you love your partner and you want partner to have a good relationship. This can only continue for so long before the dad just gives up and pulls back.
Yeah. And of course, probably they're at the stage now where if dad tries to put the two-year-old to bed, it sounds like the two-year-old screams like it's the worst thing that's ever happened in their life ever.
Exactly. And you're going to have a couple of nights of that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. David Carey still with us for our parenting slot. We did have a question at the start of the section about a 13-year-old who seems to have... She's given up her hobbies. She spent a lot of time by herself. Though it's not clear whether... It's a deliberate choice or some there's been some exterior factor. Claire says, just leave the poor child alone. I'm as happy as Larry on my own. People are just awful. Nothing wrong with being a hermit in my little hermit hole, says Claire. Well, she's right about that, of course. But if that's the child's choice, then she's right.
It's a very interesting, this concept of the hermit. We have a social brain.
Yeah.
So it truly can be said that every hermit needs a community to withdraw from.
Yes.
Think about it.
That should be written on a greeting card. Really, it should. Right. My daughter is 6 and seems to be obsessed with her best friend. They have been friends since they started school last year, which is lovely, but I worry that they isolate themselves too much from the rest of their classmates as they don't have too much interest in joining in with anyone else. Maybe I'm being overprotective, but I worry that if her friend is off sick, that she wouldn't have a wider social circle to play with.
Well, Now, of course, you're inventing a problem that doesn't exist just yet.
Yes.
Which is human, of course, and particularly common amongst parents who love their children and care for them. Nothing wrong with having a best friend. It's a good thing, in fact, to have a best friend. And best friends change across a lifespan sometimes, not always. We don't know what's going to happen if her little friend isn't in school that day. And I'm afraid rather than worrying and trying to do something about it yet, it's probably best to wait and see.
Yeah.
And now, here again, you might know when little Susie isn't in class that day unless your daughter tells you. If she tells you Susie wasn't in, then I'd want to ask her, who did you play with?
Mm.
Who did you talk to? What did you do? What was the most fun thing about school today? And she'll probably tell you. If you ask some open-ended questions and some pointed closed questions, you'll get an answer. Sean, I think this is a let's wait and see issue.
Yeah, because it mightn't be an issue at all.
It's an issue in the parents' head.
Yeah.
But we don't know if it's an issue for the little girl. She's very attached. And at this age, by the way, those attachments can be very strong.
Mm.
And that's the only one you want to be with, you know?
Mm.
I had my best buddy, and we've been friends since we were 6 months old. And we're still in touch.
Crikey, that's
brilliant. Can you imagine
that?
Yeah. Bob, if you're listening, hello.
Yeah.
He's back in America.
Hi, Bob.
Yeah.
There you go. And you never know. The daughter might go, you know, little Susie gets sick. And the little girl in question here goes, oh, thank God I'm shot of that clingy wagon for the day. And goes off and has a great time for herself.
Could happen. And, you know, the evolution of these things sometimes is that this daughter who's so attached to that little girl and the little girl who's attached to her may go their separate ways in another 2 years or less or more.
Often happens.
Often happens. And that's healthy and normal. And we make attachments. We let go of them, and we make other attachments. That is healthy development across the lifespan.
Another attachment, though, in a bit of difficulty. My son refuses to be in the same room as his dad. To be honest, he hates everyone bar me, as it seems. So this affects his grandparents and aunties, too. But it's his dad who feels just awful about it. He is, too. He is like my shadow. He follows me around the house all day as I do the chores, and we go everywhere together. But when his daddy comes home and tries to spend time with him, he gets upset and angry and practically runs away from him. This also means that it's me who has to do the bedtime routine every evening because he won't let his dad do it. My husband is really upset as he is not bonding as he thought he would. Our son is our only child, so this is all new to us. How can I help my son to allow more people into his life, especially his father?
I think you might have inadvertently become an enabler.
Yeah.
You have got to pull back.
Mm.
The little boy can't do it on his own. He clearly is extremely attached to you, which is a good and healthy thing. Speaks well of you as his parent. But this is hurting dad. That is not good, because a dad as a human being wants to have loving contact and be able to nurture, play with, and comfort his son. I really want you to think very deeply about your role in all this. There are things you can do. There are instrumental tasks that you can engineer into your day and week so that the son must contend with daddy.
Mm.
That means you don't bring him up to his bed and tuck him in and give him his goodnight story every night. You've got to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just dad. It's other family members. So, it's a tough question, and I'm trying not to point fingers, but the question is, for what purpose have you permitted this to go on for so long?
Mm.
Two is a long time.
It is a long time, though. I mean, from what she says, it sounds like she's at home minding him, so she's all day long with him.
But daddy comes home sometime.
Yeah, presumably so, yeah.
And some of the time that he's home, the little boy must be awake.
Mm.
You've got to start, you need to talk to your partner, and let's organize a schedule here.
Mm.
It doesn't have to be 100% consistent, but we're going to have to rotate some of the caregiving, parenting responsibilities here.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to get out of this. You have to change, not the little boy.
Yeah.
Please dig deep, try harder, ask yourself a very difficult question, and it's a hard one, and I don't want to put pain in anyone's life, but are you facilitating this accidentally?
Yeah.
Because it sounds to me like you are.
Yeah.
And I know your intentions are good and you love your little boy and you love your partner and you want partner to have a good relationship. This can only continue for so long before the dad just gives up and pulls back.
Yeah, and of course, probably they're at the stage now where if dad tries to put the two-year-old to bed, it sounds like the two-year-old screams like it's the worst thing that's ever happened in their life ever.
Exactly, and you're going to have a couple of nights of that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
When my son started school 2 years ago, any invite that was extended for a birthday party always said that no presents were necessary, so we adhered to that and always went along empty-handed. However, last weekend, we were rather early for the first party of the year, and as we waited, noticed that every single child arrived with a present in their hands and handed over to a parent who had brought along a bag for the occasion. You can imagine the mortification I felt when I realised that this had been going on this whole time, and we seemed to have been the only one's not bringing anything. Now, I am concerned that my son will be singled out as being mean or something just because we did what we thought was the right thing. We have a party coming up in the next couple of weeks. Should I start bringing presents even though we never have before?
Gosh, I don't know how you deal with what's going to happen in the future. Maybe having emergency presents in the boot of the car is not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But in terms of what happened, what an awfully embarrassing
situation.
Oh, my God. You can be sure they were talking about you. Not talking about your son. The parents were talking about you.
Yeah,
did you see
yeah.
her? She showed up empty-handed now.
Ooh.
You know, and had two scoops of the punch at the kitchen table. Get a little present and have the son bring it into the little boy. It was only last weekend, so there's 2 days of school left.
Yeah, they can do that. Of course they can.
And, you know, Johnny, I forgot to bring your present with you. Here it is. And, you know, he can give it to teacher first so teacher can organize and orchestrate when it gets opened, et cetera. That probably will resolve the issue for the little boy.
Mm.
Case closed. Now, in terms of what happens in the future, were it me, I'd have the emergency present in the boot.
Yeah.
And I'd be watching. Because parents are tricky. Has this ever happened to you? Someone says, no presents.
I've never seen that no presents
rule
before.
Okay.
No, I thought if you're invited to a party, they're looking for a present.
Yeah.
Really.
That's the purpose of the invite,
That's the
person it?
Of the invite.
Yeah,
they're not there because they like you. They want stuff.
They want something.
That's what it's all about, really.
God, we have such a wonderful view of humanity, don't we?
Don't, the two of us? But especially at that year, at that age, because it's only started school 2 years ago. So,
yeah.
You know, what is
yeah.
he, like seven or something? And they're probably still at that stage where someone has a birthday and they invite everyone in the class, which is insane.
Yeah, a lot of schools now are taking a policy that invites aren't extended in the school itself. They're done outside, which I think is a very healthy thing.
Yeah.
Because if it's going to happen in the class, then it's all or none.
Yeah.
And there has to be a firm line on that. Have the emergency present. Get something for the little boy to bring into his little friend. He hands it over to teacher. Quietly, the teacher will take the two of them and organize the passing on of the little present.
Mm-hmm.
Case solved. Emergency present there. You have no problems ever again. Get it out of your head. embarrassing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, somebody's texting to say, who doesn't bring a present to a party despite the invite saying no present? You should always bring a present. Rookie mistake. I'm amazed, though, that they don't know any other parents to ask about this.
Yeah, that's curious. Yeah. Now, maybe they're new in the community. We don't know.
Yeah.
Let's not point fingers at the mom and the dad. They did the best they could. They followed the advice that they were given, and it turned out quite right.
They didn't figure on the gross hypocrisy of the Irish, especially when we write things down.
Well, no, I'm glad you said that. No, you didn't.
David, thank you very much for coming
Sean.
In. Always a pleasure. David Carey there. We're going to take a break after that. The legacy of Edward Snowden.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, recruiting and supporting foster parents and children. Fiverriversfostering.ie.